Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee. The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are back in the building doing what we do each week, right? Bring you nonstop Titans talk. It is my pleasure to do that for you. We got Chris Sanders coming on. We'll talk about the OC hire that the Titans have made. We got David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Man, there's quite a few things that have gone on when you talk about the coaching staff itself. The Titans made a bevy of moves, and we're going to get into that. That's going to be the focus of this show. And we'll kick it off, right, with the offensive coordinator, just to kind of go over the different things for those of you who may not be caught up to speed. The Titans announced on Tuesday that Tim Kelly is going to move from pass game coordinator. He's been elevated to offensive coordinator, so he's going to be calling the plays. He'll be assisted by the addition of Charles London, who is going to be the pass game coordinator, but he's also going to hold the role of QB coach. Well, what happened to the QB coach the Titans had? Well, Pat O'Hara is going to be in a new role that was created by the Titans staff and is called pass game analyst. In addition to that, another move that you have is Tony Dews going from running backs coach to tight ends coach. He's replacing Luke Steckel, who is going from tight ends coach to run game analyst, another new position. A couple nuggets in regards to Tony Dews is rather ironic. I tell you, the football world is very small. It's very small. And I'm not truly a part of the football world, right? I'm just a guy talking shop. But I have a connection to Tony Dews, right? Because when you look at when he was a tight ends coach at Millersville, I was in the same conference, the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. I was playing for Cheney University, and Tony Dews was the tight ends coach. And one of his top tight ends, actually, he went all-conference, first-team all-conference that year working with Coach Dews. His name is Dana Keith. Dana was my first roommate at Cheney. He transferred from Cheney to Millersville. So it's just funny how small the world is.
What a small world. It's incredible. Yeah.
And then just to further 6 degrees of separation, Tony Dews played tight end at Liberty, the school that Malik Willis came here from. So it's just interesting how all of that works. But, yeah, he's going to be the tight ends coach. And I like that move for him because that gets him another step closer to getting in that offensive coordinator role. And it's something that we talked about it with Rand Carthon, but Tony Dews was a part of that, as well as Brian Gardner. They went and they were part of that minority advancement development program for coaches as well as front office people. So obviously there's a goal for him to eventually be able to be a play caller. So I hope that works out for him. But that's one of the things, because you would say, hey, like, why would you go from working with Derrick Henry to other guys? Well, that's the reason. And as we mentioned, Coach Steckel went from tight ends coach to run game analyst. He did interview for the position offensive coordinator with the Chargers, if you remember, before they hired Kellen Moore. But then defensively, there's a few changes as well. This pass defense was 32nd in the league against the teams trying to throw the ball. So obviously change was going to happen. Anthony Midgett was not retained. So Chris Harris and the Titans made it through the defensive coordinator request wars, right? He was tied to so many different positions. It looks like, I guess he wanted the 49ers position as the option. And, you know, when they filled that with Steve Wilks, this move was made official. He's going to be the DB coach as well as pass game coordinator. He'll be working with the cornerbacks. And we'll get into all of this a little bit deeper. You have Scott Booker, who will work with the safeties. You have Coach Lori Locus. I almost called her Coach Lo Locus, as she's referred to on Twitter. I tell you, that's a good move. And we'll hear Vrabel on that a little bit later in the show. But you look, there is experience. She broke in, I believe it was the Ravens that she was with as an interim defensive line coach. And then she coached the defensive line for the Bucs for 2 years, champion, right? And she's the first the first female full-time assistant coach for the Titans. So you got some firsts going here, some history being made there. That's something to hang your hat on. But she'll be working with the outside linebackers in this case with Ryan Crowe. And I tell you what, Coach Crowe is fun to watch. Between him and Coach Locust, there's going to be a lot of energy going on. So that's going to be fun to watch that. So that's the move, the second one. And then you also have Justin Hamilton, who was the DC at Virginia Tech. He has been brought aboard as a defensive assistant. So that's what you're looking at. Another example, two actually, of 6 degrees of separation, right? Coach Lo Locust, she is a Susquehanna High School grad, which is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Coincidentally, one of my college running backs, Kevin Waters, he graduated from Susquehanna as well. And, Marcus Colston, the Saints receiver, came out of there, Susquehanna. So that Harrisburg area, like, it really is, it's a hotbed for talent. But then you look at, as I mentioned, with Justin Hamilton, the DC there at Virginia Tech, Caleb Farley, that's where he is. He came to the league from Virginia Tech. And, I mean, you look at his Twitter, or his IG, rather, his stories. He says there's going to be a comeback. The next 2 years are going to be outstanding. It's going to make people forget about the first two. We'll see what happens there. But, hey, you know what? That's going to be an area for Chris Harris, who comes over from the Redskins. I almost said it. I did say it. The Commanders, Washington Commanders, he comes over. And this was a guy who was in high demand. So I would say that's something – to really be a monument of his ability. And you look at the Commanders there, you know, their defensive backs, you know, that secondary was a pretty strong unit, you know. So I'll be curious to see how that works out, you know, what they're able to do there. But let's talk about this offense, you know, because so many people, you know, you hear Tim Kelly has been elevated. And I mean, like my Twitter mentions, boy, people were, gearing up to be really, really happy with a move from outside of the organization. That's not what Vrabel did. He ended up hiring Tim Kelly. And, I mean, listen, you got to understand, NFL, it's a business. And it's like most other businesses. And what usually happens in a business, when personnel decisions are made, you're going to go with people that you're comfortable with, that you know. And that's what happened. I mean, you look, they brought him aboard as a pass game coordinator. He was essentially the OC in waiting. And if things didn't go right, he was going to get the job. I felt that was the case all along. And obviously this past year with Todd Downing, things didn't go right. And one of the areas where they didn't go right was the struggles with third downs, right? So you look at, they were 36% in third downs. That's 23rd in the league. If you look at years when the Texans were, you know, they had their offense being run by Tim Kelly, and we're talking about a team that they didn't really have too much to work with, and they were in a bad situation as far as 2021, you know, with what happened with Deshaun Watson, and, you know, we don't need to get into that. But we know that there was a situation where he wasn't available and they suddenly had to, you know, shift gears and have a different quarterback in there. So you look at 2021, the Texans were 16th in the NFL, 39.7% on third down conversion percentage. Then you go to 2020 and that number was a bit higher, right? And that's something that they were 12th at 43%. So these are improvements with less than what it's hard to say that because the Titans, they really had a lot of injuries. But nevertheless, these numbers are better. And obviously it's different situations, different years, but that's something to look at. Now you look at the passing offense, the Texans, you know, under Deshaun Watson, they were fourth in the league in 2020 in passing. So this team, they were able to get things done. And, you know, Watson had his best year as a pro. He almost passed for 5,000 yards. That joker had 4,800 yards in passing.
Pretty impressive.
Very impressive with Tim Kelly calling the plays. So I think that's something to look at. But, you know, the question is, okay, well, what will be different? And I think that's really the big thing. And I asked Mike Vrabel that, frankly, you know, what would be different, because that's something that I think we all want to know. Here's Mike Vrabel on that.
Oh, man, we go through an extensive interview process, hear how he would do things, hear what he liked, hear what he, you know, would like to change going forward. You know, his history as a play caller, his history working with different schemes, like I said, in Houston, and being able to have a great feel for the game, being able to work with Charles and the rest of our offensive staff, bringing some energy, and taking the guys that are going to be here, especially some of these young guys that really started to come on, and build a system for them and help them learn, get lined up, know what to do, and be able to play fast and aggressive. And that's the most important thing.
Fast and aggressive. You notice he said that. Now, that's the second time fast has been mentioned. He focused on how the Titans were rarely the fastest team on the field this past year. So, man, if I'm a scout, if I'm a personnel person, I'm watching that film a little more closely to see, like, okay, how fast does this guy play on the field? And if I see a guy run crazy at the combine, I'm going back and saying, okay, is this speed showing up on the film? There's clearly a focus on being faster. And you talk about being faster and playing fast. Zay Flowers from Boston College.
Pretty fast.
That guy could go. Mm-hmm. He wears his get somewhere shoes. And why do I mention Zay Flowers? Well, because you look at the last couple of years with Brandon Cooks, what he's been able to do in Tim Kelly's offenses, right? You look at his stats in 2021 and 2020. I mean, this guy, and Brandon Cooks just has a way of just, he's going to get 1,000 yards receiving regardless. But you look, he had 1,150 yards receiving on 81 receptions in 2020. And then in 2021, he had 90 receptions for 1,037, 6 touchdowns in each of those seasons. So, you know, this is a guy that you watch his film, just the way that they used him, a lot of slot fades and things like that. And I bring up Brandon Cooks because that is a guy that Zay Flowers really reminds me of. So, you know, you look, that's a good opportunity to run those slot fades, a good opportunity to give different options for your slot guy to make plays down the field. That's critical. But then one of the other things that Vrabel mentioned was how Kelly said that he would do some things differently. That's key. And so many times you hear people say, hey, you know what? I don't want somebody who was a part of the offense last year. And I get it. Generally, you would want to say, okay, look, that it was a dumpster fire. Let's get somebody as far away from it as possible. I understand someone saying that, but you got to look at it from another perspective. And what's a wise man do? What does a wise man do, David?
What does a wise man do?
He learns from other people's mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tim Kelly was there in the building. He saw how this whole meal was being put together and cooked. What better way to improve things than to have been there, seeing it happen, and then knowing what went wrong?
Learning from others' mistakes is
right.
Huge.
Learn from other mistakes. And I'm not sitting here trying, like, I'm not trying to sell people on Tim Kelly being the offensive coordinator. I honestly don't know how it works. I'm mm-hmm. really curious to see how this whole thing plays out. But I know one thing, it better work out for Vrabel's sake, because
that's for sure.
All of the different options, like, that's put away. This doesn't work. This is on you. And that's the way that it's going to be set up. So they're going to have to figure out ways to you know, work through that and get this offense where it needs to be. Vrabel is very confident. There's going to be other pieces that can make that happen, too. And we'll get into that because I do want to talk about Charles London. I want to talk about, you know, how they have these new roles as well on the staff. And we're going to get a little bit more into the offensive coordinator talk after this break. I want to go ahead and pay these bills. We're going to come back with Chris Sanders, run TMC, and talk the OC. Be right back. What's up, everyone? This is Teron Davenport. I want to tell you about Sarah Chevrolet Buick GMC of Nashville. They took great care of me when I got my brand new Camaro. They have hundreds of new or gently pre-owned vehicles, special discounts, and monthly incentives. They don't have any market adjustments, zero dealer ads. Save, save, save. You could go online to chat, check availability, and purchase your vehicle without ever stepping foot into the dealership. Or you could go there and see my guy, Josh Lemon. Either way, check them out at sarahnashville.com. That's S-E-R-R-A, nashville.com. And tell them TD sent you.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Rings, come on. All right, here we go. That music fades. The lights dim. And now, coming to you live from Portland, Oregon, starting at shooting guard out of Houston, number 22, Clyde Drexler.
Oh, but and now, starring with your Denver Nuggets, shooting with a bad shot, with a bad leg, Alex English.
Now, Alex English is a top 10 scorer now.
Man, but his shot was terrible, man. Dude, time out, man. I messed up on the name I was going to call you. I called you Alex English, but I actually was going to go with Algie Crumpler.
Algie Crumpler, man. That Brian Dawkins hit on him.
Oops, man. Man.
Ooh.
Dude, he was a different animal, wasn't he?
Brian Dawkins?
Yes.
Yo, let me tell you something, dude. Man. I watched The Football Life the other day. When he was walking out the tunnel and he was like waving it off, like, oh,
yeah.
He was waving it off and he turned around and then he waved it off again. And then he went up, he was like, doggone it.
But you know what's so crazy is, that's funny because I was looking at something that he was talking about yesterday. They said he's really calm off the field.
He is.
But you know where he said he got that gladiator mentality?
Yep.
Is when he saw Reggie Wright blast somebody and then pray for him.
Pray him. Because you know what he used to say?
Yeah.
He'd be like, watch out now, because here come Jesus. That's what Reggie White used to say, man.
Man, dude, dude was a beast, man.
Yeah, he was.
I think I played against him once, and I've been scared of two people in my life, and there's one guy from Ohio State. But that was one dude that I was scared of, man. Because if you got caught slipping coming across the middle,
oh,
your mustache going to come off now.
Yeah, he going to thump you, man. Yeah. And then that hard turf at Vet Stadium, too.
Dude,
like, that's a
that
double
is the,
hit.
When I tell you that was the worst turf ever, oh.
Yeah, it doesn't get much worse than that. But, hey, you know what? Speaking of turf, the Titans.
I know.
We'll see what happens there. But,
yeah.
You know, one of the things that's going to happen on that turf is a new offensive coordinator calling the plays. I want to just get your perspective, just the timing of this. So, what are your thoughts on how this timed out?
You know, I just kind of look back at the whole situation, and I kind of knew it was going to happen, and I kind of knew it was going to happen last year, because if you look at last when they brought him in to be the passing analyst or passing quarterback, we didn't really know his title. It was kind of like this. It's kind of like having insurance, right? You don't need it until you have to get it. Say you get in an accident, then now you have the insurance to back it up. That's kind of like the situation right here, that we saw an accident, and I'm talking figuratively speaking, with Todd Downing. Now here's the insurance policy.
Yeah.
No. And that's exactly what it is, because, you know, it was just, you know, I know you're interviewing people, I know you're bringing different people in, but you have to go through the process. But all along, you knew they were going to bring Tim Kelly in to be the offensive coordinator.
Right, and I agree with that. You do have to go through the process. But
yes.
The timing of it also, for me, when you look at this, the advantage is, and what would have been a disadvantage with waiting and bringing in a new guy is, okay, you have someone who knows the personnel on
the team. That's a great point, yep.
You don't have that loading up, that ramping up period that you would have had if it were Matt Nagy or Eric Bieniemy or whoever it may have been. I think that's a good thing. But when you look at Tim Kelly, do you think it's good or bad that they made an internal move?
You know, I think for the timing now, because if you look at the interview that Mike Vrabel said, he said this. You got to really listen to what he's saying. He said it's a good fit for us at this time, because you made a good point, TD. If you go out and get Bieniemy, you go out and get some guys. Now you got to change the whole concept. Now you got to change the whole language. You got to change all the techniques. You got to give it all the coaches and teach them the whole way you want to be taught. But now you have Tim Kelly that's already been in their internal. You don't really have to change a lot of technique and verbiage. You just got to change some things that you were bad at to get better. So I know the fans are looking at it and say, oh, it's a bad hire. It's a bad, the times are going backwards. But you go and get somebody else, and you have to learn on the run as opposed to be in front of the A-ball. So I think it's a great, great hire.
I said in the opening segment, something that stood out to me was Vrabel had mentioned fast. And that's the second time he's mentioned it. And I think if you look at it, well, what I said was, guys being confident that they're in the right scheme and being put in the right position. But more importantly, and it just kind of triggered, you said terminology, that triggered me, because one of the things that Vrabel said was about having a different face in there was teaching it better and communicating it better. That right there, I think, is a big thing in allowing guys to play faster, obviously in addition to having the speed personnel.
That is outstanding what you said, because when we think playing fast is you got to run a 4.2 or a 4.1. That's great. That helps. But the thing about it is playing fast and knowing and being confident that what you're doing is going to come out great. So, that's what we got to understand, because if you look at the Tennessee Titans, if you look at Burks came in, he was hurt and he was kind of, not making plays. But once he understood the playbook and understood the technique, then now he can play fast. And we saw it in the Green Bay game. We saw it against Philadelphia, because now he doesn't have to think. He can just play and think on the run.
Yeah, absolutely. And then as far as Tim Kelly being in there, do you see anything, like any reason to say, okay, there's going to be a difference?
I mean, it's going to have to be a difference. I mean, his track record right now, I'm saying right now, is not good, because when he was with the Texans in 2021, his record was 4-13. He had 31 touchdowns. They converted 39% on third down. They only had 4,700 yards of total offense. And this is the real kicker. They only had 280 points the whole season. That's low. So they're going to have to go in there and figure out what do we need to do better. Who do we need to draft? We got to fit the guys that fit our identity. So that's going to be the key, and that's where the change is going to happen.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting with that is the following year the offense got worse. But then the year before that, 2020, they were fourth in passing offense, and Deshaun Watson had a career year. So you could kind of look at that, and again, like I've said it throughout this show, I'm not trying to convince anybody that Tim Kelly's the right one. I still need to see for myself that he is the right one. But overall, as far as a collaboration standpoint, Charles London coming aboard and being the pass game coordinator, and Pat O'Hara being the pass game analyst, are you wary of having too many chefs in the kitchen?
Yeah, you're right. But at the end of the day, say it's fourth down. Who's going to be that final voice to say, or let me just switch it like this. Let's just go to offense. Let's just say we go to offense. Who's going to be the final voice to say if it's fourth down to go for it or not go for it? That's going to be the key. I mean, we can talk right now and, we're in this together and you're my brother and this and all that. But once you get in the fire, who's that final voice to make the final decision? That's offense and defense. So, they're going to have to work together, because now you have a lot of moving pieces right now. But the good thing about it is if you connect the dots and connect, your talents with the other guy, then you can make it work. But if you're on your own agenda and you want it your way and I have to do it my way, which you do, but you got to work together with the offensive coaching staff to come out with a great product.
Absolutely, and that's going to be the critical part. If you were Vrabel, where would you have went with this direction? And I'm not talking about just because of the timing now, but just overall.
I mean, I would do exactly what he did. Because the thing about it is, if you bring a person in at this time, they just missed the Super Bowl. I mean, the Senior Bowl. You know, you got the draft coming up. You got individual workouts going on. You got all these things going on. So why go get somebody that's different, that's not, you know, adapt to the identity of where you're going? So I think the timing needed to be now sooner than later, because all these events that are leading up to what's going to happen.
So let's say the Titans offense gets back to the ways that they had under Arthur Smith. How quick do you think Tim Kelly's name is mentioned for a head coaching job?
At the end of the season? I mean, it's just what it is, because the thing about it is, Deion Sanders said this. He said when you're hot, you got to strike fast. I mean, you just have to, because the next year you can have a bad year and nobody even knows your name. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the situation with Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, I didn't know who he was. But when he had that spectacular year in how creative he was on offense, you know, putting different guys in the backfield and multiple of both formation and guys making explosive plays, and he was so creative, what happened the next year?
Yeah.
Atlanta Falcons. Let's go eat.
Last thing here, Ryan Tannehill. Mike Vrabel, and I don't think it's a coincidence or accidentally, he mentioned Ryan Tannehill being in the building every day. And he said that Tannehill said he was excited about – he seemed excited about what direction they're going moving forward. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
Man, a guy who wants to win. You know what I'm saying? I know everybody wants to get Tannehill out, and he's not the guy, and bring Tom Brady in. I know he's retired, and bring different guys to replace Tannehill. But when you got a guy that's dedicated, you got a guy that's committed, a guy that's in the building right now, a guy that's lifted, a guy that's watching film and says, I'm going to put everything on my back to make this team better, let's go fight, dog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know he gets a hard rap, and you know he didn't do this, and everybody keeps going back to the bad game he had last year when he threw three interceptions. But at the end of the day, who was the bright spot of this Tennessee Titans team last year before he got hurt?
Well, I guess you could say Tannehill.
Yeah.
I think Derrick Henry, but yeah,
Derrick
Henry? Yeah, there's an argument that could be made for Tannehill because he got the interceptions down.
Absolutely. So, you know, and I know everybody wants the cute name, the sexy name, but at the end of the day, what's the best fit for the Tennessee Titans now? We can talk about the future later, but what's better for the Tennessee Titans now?
Absolutely. And I think that's where Tannehill comes in. Do you think it's an accident that Vrabel mentioned that?
No, absolutely not, because he wants the fans to know that this guy is devoted and dedicated of making his team better. Because the thing about it is, you know, when you have a quarterback that cares, a quarterback that wants to be better, a quarterback that wants to, be a leader, not just in talking, but a leader as in demonstrating, those are the kind of cats that you want to follow. I watched Steve McNair struggle, you know, the first part of his career. But the reason why I will follow him is because he worked hard. He was in the film room. He, you know, there was mistakes that he would make, but he would try to correct those mistakes. And then later on down the road, what happens? He wins the co-MVP. That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. There you have it right there. Hey, man, that's how you go directly to the point, hit it hard, and that's what we did, man.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you coming on. What a – got any jokes to go?
Yeah, I do, man. I was going to say it, man. But, man, I was watching, Different Strokes. And I was like, man, they're like, man, you know, that little kid, Gary Coleman, he could kind of look like TD. He's like, man, if he ever needed a stunt double, could he definitely play him? And, you know, I said, raise your hand if you believe that. And it was unanimous that they say you look like Gary Coleman.
You knew I wasn't asking you if you had any jokes just to randomly be asking. So my guy Kinston, you know, one of the thorough Titans fans on Twitter.
Okay.
He said he was watching this old show called One-on-One with his daughter last night. And when Flex came on the screen, his daughter said, Daddy, ain't that man from that podcast you be listening to? Ain't that Chris Sanders?
Man, get off my phone, man. Appreciate you, Doc.
What's up, everybody? This is Teron Davenport here for Superbook Sports, and I want you to add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over 3 decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year where you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
This is Traylon Burks, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. We're going to keep this thing rolling. As I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk a little bit more about this coaching staff and some of the changes. And before we do, I do want to bring up one other point with Tim Kelly that I think is going to be a difference maker. And it also has to do with personnel. And when you look at Tim Kelly, and it's going back to watching, you know, a lot of the stuff that they did in 2020, 2021, especially with Nico Collins. You know, they had him on a lot of those play action crossers, or what's referred to as a bang route or a strike route. That was a staple of the Titans offense in 19 and 20, right, with Arthur Smith calling the plays and Arthur Juan Brown catching those things and making big things happen. I mean, you saw, and they knew that it was coming and couldn't stop it. Traylon Burks was a guy that they used that a lot with. And it's funny, when I say they knew it was coming, I instantly thought of Rasul Douglas against the Packers, where he didn't have anybody down there in his area, and he just sprinted back to where that play action strike route normally is completed, and he picked it off clean. I mean, that was a heck of a play by him. But more times than not, that was a gain for the Titans. And I think Traylon Burks is a guy that, especially in talking to him, he's going to work more on being more durable, right, and not being as susceptible to injury. And that's something that, as you in the league, you learn how to train your body and get your body right to be able to withstand the wear and tear and just not have those soft tissue injuries. And that's, you know, obviously what he had to deal with in addition to the concussion that he had. But I think Traylon Burks will be more available this year, so that's going to allow you an uptick in being able to run that play, because he was pretty much the only guy that I would trust consistently to be able to catch it and get your yards after the catch on that one. Robert Woods, Westbrook Ikhine, these guys had their purpose. You know, Robert Woods became a pretty solid option on third down. So, you know, I'm not knocking those guys, but I think Traylon Burks was the one to trust there. So why do I bring that up? Personnel-wise, you look at free agency, you look at the draft. I think a guy like a Jonathan Mingo would be excellent, or even a Dontayvion Wicks. You know, these are guys that can make plays across the middle. But you look at Mingo, the yards have to catch. 6'1", 225. This is a guy who's built a lot like A.J. Brown. Doesn't have the same explosiveness and yak ability, but he does have some. And so when you have those big body guys, you want them to get the ball across the middle and make DBs bounce off of them. So I say all that to say, you look at Tim Kelly, there's something that he did a lot when he was in Houston. I think that's something that you're going to see a lot more this year because of his tendency to do it, but also because of personnel. And then in addition to that, personnel to be added. Now, Charles London. That's a move that I think is just kind of floating under the radar. But if you go back and you watch some of the Senior Bowl practices on ESPN, the way that he was working with the guys, and Mike Vrabel said it. He said that was something that stood out to him that he really liked. And he enjoyed the interview with them, but then also being able to see him as the OC down there in Mobile. I remember watching some of the coverage, and he, on the one play, you know, he during practice, he says something to the quarterback that threw it, and he turned around to make sure Hendon Hooker was involved. And he said, "Hey, Hendon, could you have made that throw?" You know, and then just the interaction there. This is a guy that wasn't going to play in the game, but he still was getting him involved with everything going on. I think that's really good. And people will say, "Oh, man, that doesn't mean anything." No, it does, because who is a quarterback that has to be developed? Malik Willis. Right. So I think that it was an example of showing a guy who's not involved with the play, getting involved with the play by way of the coach turning and talking to him. That's a good thing. And then you just watch the command that he had and the demeanor that he was, you know, displaying as he interacted with the players. That's going to be a good addition. And obviously, anytime you could pull back a piece of what has been successful in the past, right, in Arthur Smith, this team averaged darn near 30 points with Arthur Smith calling the play. So we know that there's something good there. And if you could go back and get that type of success, that's going to be key. But I just feel Charles London, he's someone that's going to help out a lot. And as a pass game coordinator, that's going to be a good opportunity for him to, you know, sprinkle in a little bit of his collaboration. And I mentioned this on one of the other shows with Derek Mason, Willie, and Caroline. I watched collaboration firsthand with the Eagles, right? And one of the things that I saw, there were a couple plays, the Philly special. That play was a part of a collaboration in that when you have different guys with different roles, right? Press Taylor was the quarterback's coach. His job wasn't even quarterback's coach. John DeFilippo was the quarterback's coach. Let me stop short on Coach Flip. Coach Flip was the quarterback's coach. Press Taylor was just, he was an offensive assistant. But his job was to bring them trick plays. He watched the Bears in 2016 run Philly special with Matt Barkley. And then he took that to the Eagles. And sure enough, it was put into the game plan. And they, 4th-and-1, they went for it. And that was the tie turner in the Super Bowl. Then you look at the winning, the one that put them ahead, Zach Ertz catching the slant. That was a collaboration between Press Taylor, Mike Groh, Frank Reich, and John DeFilippo. So we're talking 4 people in on this play, and they each brought different things to the play. The motion to set Ertz up, backside isolation, seeing how that will pull the safety out of the picture and have him matched up with the other safety. Then the slant, seeing how they went to that earlier in the year and how Ertz was really good at getting that inside position and making the catch and getting some yards after it. These are all things that it was a collaboration. It worked in the Super Bowl. If they could find that degree of collaboration, that's going to be critical. But one of the things that you're able to do when you're not necessarily a position coach is you could look at other things, spend more time on other things. That's what Mike Vrabel touched on when he spoke about how the new roles, the analyst, pass game, run game analyst, that's what he talked about when he explained what that brings to the offense. Here it is.
Well, just continuing to try to you know, want these guys to be a part of our offense, and you know, not having a position group per se is going to allow them to, you know, do some of that pre-advanced work, but also help and assist throughout our offense. And those guys have been here since I got here, and so want them to be able to help us in a multiple ways and. Confident that they'll be able to do that.
Pre-advanced work. That's a fancy way of, hey, man, go out and find stuff and bring it back.
Exactly. Yeah.
that's going to be their role. And not only that, identify tendencies within the offense itself. And when you're stuck, so like if Pat O'Hara was stuck working with the quarterbacks, he's naturally going to be looking at what the quarterbacks are doing. But now he can sit back. And he's a former quarterback, so he's used to looking at things through an all-inclusive perspective, because that's what he did when he played the game. So now he's able to do that to help figure out tendencies and figure out areas for improvement. That's a good thing. And obviously, run game, I mean, working with the tight ends, you got to be involved with the passing attack as well as the rushing attack. And he'll be able to work hand-in-hand with whoever this running backs coach is going to be. I don't know who that's going to be, but that's the position to be filled. So those things really intrigue me on how that's going to play out. Defensively, okay, we mentioned Chris Harris coming aboard as the DB coach and pass game defensive coordinator, defensive pass game coordinator. That's something that was done to help improve this 32nd ranked defense. And I think you look at how the Titans have constructed their secondary coaching staff over the years, right, under Mike Vrabel. Kerry Coombs, he worked with the cornerbacks. Scott Booker with the safeties. Anthony Midgett came in, and he worked with the cornerback. Scott Booker with the safeties. That's how it's going to continue with Chris Mitchell as the DB coach. Now, Scott Booker has been around, so that's going to just be a good thing for Chris Harris to be able to just kind of bounce things off of and get an understanding quickly of who does what well and how things are. I am really intrigued on how this Caleb Farley thing is going to work, because you look at Chris Harris when he was in Washington, Benjamin St. Juice was a long corner out of Minnesota, actually used to play hockey. But he's the guy they drafted, and he bumped inside, and he played the nickel, and he did it really well. Now, I'm not saying move Caleb Farley inside and play the nickel, but I'm saying, like St. Juice, Farley is a long corner. I want to see how he could get the most out of him. That's, in my opinion, that's going to be one of his biggest challenges, is getting something out of Caleb Farley and also advancing Roger McQuarrie, Christian Fulton, too. But then you have on the defensive line, or outside linebackers rather, Coach Lori Locus. And she's going to work with those guys. She brings extensive experience as a defensive line coach. And unlike some of the other coaches that we see across the league, she played the position.
That's huge.
She played defensive line. She was the MVP of the Central PA Vipers. MVP and team captain, she played. And then she has extensive experience that we mentioned in the opener, you know, working with the Bucks. So you have that. And then coming in with the Ravens as an interim. But she's coached in the AAFL. She has extensive time working within the game of football. So that's going to be a good addition. Here's Mike Vrabel on what he likes about her.
Well, I thought her knowledge was excellent. I enjoyed our meetings that we were able to have at the Senior Bowl. You know, she's done it. She's done it. She's got experience in this league, and you know, excited to be able to bring on somebody that's, you know, worked with a lot of great players and been around great defenses in Tampa. So that I know that, you know, she'll primarily start out working with the outside linebackers. I think that her and Ryan Crow will make a great team, and he'll help her as she transitions to working with the outside linebackers.
He said transitions. I want to see, you know, initially she'll start out working. I want to see what other things they have her doing. But I'm impressed. I'm impressed with what they did. It remains to be seen. And, again, I'm not here to sell you on it. You guys, the jury should absolutely be out. And you shouldn't, just because the moves were made, trust that they're the right ones. They are going to need to prove that to you guys, that these will be successful moves. So that's the show, man. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And we're just going to continue to roll through, man. Combine is coming up. Super Bowl. Hey, man, let's see these Eagles win it. I want to
go Birds.
Yeah, I want to see that. the streets of Philadelphia would be crazy. Broad Street would be nuts. It was last time. So we'll see what happens there. But more importantly, the combine, that's going to be the next thing. And we'll be hearing from Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel there. Can't wait to also mix it up with the prospects as well. So stay tuned. We got more things coming. Definitely appreciate you, David, making this thing happen.
Always, man. It's always fun.
And shout out to Chris Sanders for coming on, talking shop. And shout out to you, right? Definitely make sure you check us out. Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you find your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD, rate, review. We appreciate you.